Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes I'm of the opinion that all one should do is read the Bible and then just listen to the word and let that be the sermon. I'll have a few words to say about it because you know me. But at the very least, it should be considered part of the sermon. The words today from the prophet Hosea spoke to me very powerfully and speak very powerfully to me. I think it's one of the more beautiful and powerful love poems I've ever heard. The book of the prophet Hosea is an interesting one. In it, God is frustrated with the people of Israel who are misbehaving, a common thread throughout the prophets. The people have lost sight of the faith and the way that it was taught to them and are practicing in ways that Yahweh does not approve of, that God does not approve of, and so the prophets are sent to bring a message of correction and motivate the people to return to God. But God takes an interesting approach in Hosea, asking the prophet to take as a wife a woman who had been a prostitute, and then to name their children these curious names that are to convey the lostness of the people and God's forgiveness, and that this whole thing is to be an extended metaphor, a demonstration of how God's love and God's forgiveness are able to bring love out of even places where we might not think that reconciliation is possible. And so Hosea becomes, there are some really kind of strongly worded passages in the book as God is rebuking people, but it becomes a long extended story of God's deep forgiveness and the reconciliation between God and God's people. And so we read about that very powerfully here in the 11th chapter of Hosea. So this is God's voice speaking through the prophet. When Israel was a child, I loved them, and out of Egypt I called my beloved child. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. Like those who lift infants to their cheeks, I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but God does not raise them up at all. But how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When God roars, God's children come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. This is the good news and for it we are thankful. Amen. I had a teacher in seventh grade named Miss Martinko, and she told this amazing story about her mother. And if I'm remembering it correctly, the story is about Miss Martinko's mother, Mrs. Martinko, when my teacher was a young child, and her mother was pregnant with her younger brother. So she was pregnant with their youngest child, would be their youngest child, a little boy. And so my teacher was playing in a parked car, a parked shut-off car, in a driveway with a slight incline, with a pretty decent incline, and somehow managed to undo the parking brake, and the car, not turned on, not in gear, did what cars do, and gravity did its job, and the car started to roll down the driveway, down the hill, picking up speed as it went, and seeing her child in the car, this mother took off after the car, overtaking it, getting in front of it, and stopping the car in its progress down the hill, down the driveway. She was 8 months pregnant. I call them mama lions. You know who I mean. There are lots of them. And we hear fantastic tales of women particularly, but women when they're pregnant or when they, you know, very small and little unassuming type women physically, who when their children are in danger are capable of feats of strength we would never imagine. Women who lift cars or heavy trees when their children are trapped underneath, or who outrun moving vehicles or wild animals to rescue their children, their loved ones. It's impressive. But even when there's no big, impressive physical threat, women and men, parents, loved ones who stop at no length to protect, care for, provide for their children, and who remind us of the fierceness and the protection of a lion. We like to think of the lion with a big mane, you know, the daddy lion. And there are daddy lions. But it is those stories of those unexpected, unassuming little women who become overnight or in the blink of an eye this powerful protector when their children are at stake. They say that there is no fury like a woman scorned, but I think there is no power like a woman, like a parent, protecting his or her children. In the book of Hosea, Yahweh, God, plays the part, actually both, of the scorned partner and of the fiercely protective parent. And we get this image of God roaring like a lion, but roaring like a lion not to scatter and to make afraid, except to scatter and make afraid danger, but roaring like a lion to call home the cubs, roaring like a lion to say, I've chased away all that could hurt you, now come and be safe. This fierce protection that God describes in that final paragraph, they shall go after God who roars like a lion. And when God roars, God's children come trembling, but they come to safety, and God restores them to their homes. They are at peace. They are at rest. There's this wonderful struggle throughout the whole book of Hosea as God deals with, faces, wrestles with the faithlessness of God's people, the disobedience, the wandering, the turning away. My children, God says, are bent on turning away from me. And yet, God is reminding God's own self in this passage. We see that almost turmoil, that internal struggle to remind oneself to be loving, to remind oneself to be forgiving, to remind oneself to be tender and gentle. My compassion grows warm and tender, God says. It reminds me of the parenting technique with which I'm slightly familiar of counting to 10. When children do something they're not supposed to do, and they know how to push every single button. And we take a moment, and it doesn't have to be a parent with a child, it can be any person with anyone who has angered them, but we take that moment and we count to 10, or 20, or 150, depending, hopefully just 10. To calm ourselves and to remind ourselves to be forgiving, to remind ourselves to be loving and gentle and kind. A couple weeks ago, I took Will with me to Taekwondo class with Ari. Ari and I do the class, and Will participates on the side and runs around, and Master Winters is very good at just sort of letting, you know, he just does what he needs to do on the side, and the class continues. Every once in a while, I have to step over and redirect. And Will had made it through most of the class when he decided that the hand paddles that we were using for kicking drills would be better served hitting other people, and preferably after having been a projectile. So he's hitting people with the paddles and then throwing them in the air at people or at him, you know, up in the air, and they hit him on the way down. And he thinks this is great fun, but this is not good use of the equipment. And I know that he's not supposed to be doing this. And so I go in for the redirect. And I redirect the nearly three-year-old by saying no, which is his least favorite word in the world. And predictably, the temper tantrum ensues. And he's... Now that the paddle's out of his hand, freed up, having watched people kicking and punching for almost an hour, which is a great move, he's now freed up to be all elbows and kneecaps and fists and feet, and he's kicking and punching, and he's saying, I don't like you, and he's hitting me, and he's biting me, and all sorts of things. And I tried to be that protective but loving mama lion. No, you cannot do that, and just hold him and his kicking and flailing. And it was about that moment, of course not 5 minutes later, when he stopped and calmed down and came and put his head on my chest and said, I'm sorry, I love you, mama. No, it was this moment when he's flailing that I look over and I realize that the class has moved on and they're now doing their forms, their technique exercises that they have to practice for their belts. And there's a mom with her cell phone out, and she's videotaping the forms that her daughter's doing so she can practice them at home and she can see it done properly. And she's directly, the daughter's between the mother and I, so that in the background of this daughter's form that she's going to watch on video over and over is what? Is me with my kid flailing and kicking and making a tremendous scene. And I thought, oh, great. I hope it ran long enough to see the tremendous parenting moment when he calmed down and said he was sorry and he loved me, but somehow I imagine that that wasn't the case. But it's that moment of having to remind oneself, I am a tender, loving person. I am a gentle person. I hope it shows on film. I'm a gentle person. I count to 10. I'm just going to hold you while you make this temper tantrum and this noise. It's a very human, familiar struggle, whether it's with a child in a temper tantrum or it is the pain and struggle of interpersonal relationship and loss and hurt and harm that we cause one another. God draws upon these examples, again, in the book of the prophet Hosea, to illustrate how God cares for people. It is as if we are children who disobey. We know what that's like. But God is the one who tended us, who taught us, who took us into God's arms, even when we don't know it. God says, I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. I led them, God says, with cords of human kindness and with bands of love. I love that image of cords of human kindness. Not something esoteric or hard to understand. Nothing more complicated and yet nothing less complicated than the love and forgiveness that is shown when a parent holds a child in the throes of a temper tantrum, that same parent that might be a fierce mama or papa lion. Nothing more or less complicated than the forgiveness a partner shows another when they have been wronged. Nothing more or less complicated than it feels like to love one another. And that with that same struggle, that same anger that bubbles up, I'll return them to Egypt, I'll return them to Assyria, and I don't want to have anything to do with them, but how can I let you go, my children? I love you. Have we, like Israel, wandered away? Have we turned from the kindness, the cords of compassion that God offers us? Do we need to be forgiven and welcomed back? Can we hear the lion roar not to chase us away, but to chase away harm and fear that we might be called home? Have we, like God, been hurt, rejected, shunned, forgotten? Can we remind ourselves, call to our own awareness, the love we once offered? Can we tell ourselves the stories of tenderness and kindness that we might remember how we love one another? That we can be drawn to God and to one another with cords of kindness? And can we receive from God the love of those who lift us as infants to their cheeks, who bend down and feed us, yes, with God's very self, with Christ's own body. As we come to the table that is prepared before us, we come forgiven. We come called by the roaring lion. We come protected and safe. We come drawn by cords, by bands we cannot see, of love and compassion that grows tender and warm. God bends down here and now, again and again, to feed us with tenderness and compassion. Are we ready to forgive and to be forgiven? Amen.